You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. A national study just released last month shows that young couples, especially women, get the same emotional boost from living together as they do from marriage. But the emotional benefits change when you're talking about women or men.
We're taking your calls on cohabitation at 800-642-1234. Do you think it's a good idea for couples to live together before they get married or instead of getting married? What emotional benefits did you get from moving in with your partner, married or not? Do you know someone in this situation? Friend, family member, how do you see it working for them? And do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Claire Camp Dush is one of the co-authors of this new study. She's an associate professor of human sciences at Ohio State University, and she joins us from the studios there. Claire, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start by defining emotional benefits. What does that mean and what are they?
The emotional benefits that we're looking at are really mental health benefits. So would be a change in how often you felt blue in the past few weeks or how you've been feeling overall about your life.
And so what did you go into the study looking for? What did you want to find?
Well, we were interested in really thinking about whether marriage had similar benefits to cohabitation for a contemporary sample, because there's been a lot of research that showed that marriage was more beneficial than living together for couples. But a lot of the data that have been used to examine these questions were somewhat dated and were couples that were living together and marrying in the 1980s and 1990s.
So what data did you use?
We used some data from the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, and it's a cohort study that's actually conducted by Ohio State University in conjunction with the federal government. And so we're using data from couples that were marrying and living together in the 2000s.
In the 2000s. Okay, so this is relatively recent. So when you're talking about 2000s, it's 2016 now. What stretch of the 2000s are we talking about?
So we're talking about probably from around 2002 until about 2012.
Okay, and what did you ask people and how did you get at this?
So we had five questions that they were asked every 2 years about their emotional health. And it was a survey, so they self-reported this on the phone. And they were followed up every year they were interviewed, and every other year they had these set of questions about their emotional health. So once a year, they were asked about their relationships and their cohabiting relationships and marriages and if they moved in with somebody or moved out with somebody. And so we can track them through those relationships over 10 years and also measure their changes in emotional distress across that time as well.
And what did you turn up?
So what we found was that for women, the transition to living together with a partner, moving in with a partner, was beneficial to their emotional health. And so they experienced a decrease in emotional distress. And that was whether they moved in together and they married or whether they just moved in together without marrying. For men, we found that when they moved into their first unions, so this is the first time they move in with somebody, that they only experience a mental health benefit if they were getting married.
So interesting. There's a differential there for men and for women. What do you think was going on there for men?
Well, one thing that we thought may be going on for men is that when couples move in together, when they move in together in a cohabiting relationship, men tend to see it more as a testing of the relationship, while women tend to view it more as a commitment and are committed before they move in. So men are kind of testing the ground more often than women, and women are more often seeing that as a committed relationship and just a step on the way to marriage. So women may be experiencing the same emotional benefits that they're experiencing when they move in to a marriage because they see this as a committed relationship, whereas men may only experience the emotional benefits when they are moving into a more committed relationship.
So does that mean commitment itself is more emotionally beneficial to men and women because whether or not you perceive that as coming with marriage, that it's the commitment that makes people feel better?
It could be, but unfortunately, we don't have a lot of data on commitment, especially in these national data sets. A lot of times, they're focusing on a lot of different kinds of subjects that, you know, scholars across the U.S. are interested in. So in this particular study, we have a lot of data on work and on other kinds of, you know, important questions that people are interested in. So we don't have the data on commitment, but that could be true.
We're talking with Claire Camp Dush right now about a study she co-authored on the emotional effects of living together. And the study shows that women get the same emotional boost from living together as they do from marriage. Men don't. They seem to get that primarily from marriage is what we're hearing right now. And Claire, what's changed in this generation? Is there anything different about the way these effects have shown up as compared with generations that came before?
So that's a great question, because that was what partly motivated the study. So in the 1980s and 1990s, there were much fewer people that were living together without being married. And so there's a lot more stigma and also pressure from family and friends if you did decide to live together before you got married. And now that stigma has largely gone by the wayside. It's not that cohabiting couples may not experience some pressure to move in together, to get married after they start living together, but there's not the stigma there, with over two-thirds of couples are living together before they're married. So it's a really common experience, and you're not unique to be living with a partner before marriage, whereas in the 80s and 90s, it was growing over that period, but it was much less common.
Were you surprised at all by these results?
I was surprised, because I think I did expect that marriage would still hold a particular benefit for couples over cohabitation, because there's been so much research to show that marriage is particularly beneficial. And so, yeah, I would think that I was definitely a little surprised. And this is a research question I think that we need to start exploring more and more, is what are the benefits of marriage, and what does marriage affect when you get married, and what doesn't it affect, especially because we have policies in place in the U.S., some marriage promotion policies. So we need to think about that hard.
There's been data recently that marriage rates, especially in some groups, are declining. When you take that information alongside what you've learned from your study here, what does it tell you about the direction we're heading in?
Well, I think that a couple things. First of all, I think that it suggests that maybe we shouldn't be as worried about the declining marriage rates as maybe we have been, and that even though some people aren't having access to marriage, that they may still be able to enjoy the emotional benefits of intimate relationships even outside of marriage per se. But at the same time, I feel ambivalent, because it's not that people don't want to get married. So even though marriage rates are declining, most people, like 95% of high school seniors, say that they want to get married. And so I also feel that people should be able to get into the kind of relationship they want to. So I guess I have some ambivalence about that.
And looking specifically at men for a moment, is there a better way than this to measure the emotional stability and well-being of men?
Yeah, that was one of the drawbacks of our study, is that people have made the argument that asking men about their feelings may not be the best way to capture their emotional health, and that you could use a behavioral indicator that may be beneficial. So alcohol use is a really popular one to think about, that could be a behavioral indicator of mental health. So if you're overusing alcohol, that's perhaps a behavioral indicator of mental health issues for men. And we didn't have those data in the study. So it would be great for it to be replicated.
What do we know about the continuing emotional health of both genders as the relationship continues, both in marriage and also with people who are just living together? What do we know about that?
Well, we weren't looking at that exactly in this study, but overall, we find the research has definitely supported that people that are in intimate relationships enjoy better mental health than individuals that are single. And that's partly because of the social support that comes from being with a partner. You have a bad day at work, you come home, you have somebody to talk to about that bad day. People use their intimate relationships to benefit them in a lot of ways, even in terms of their own health, physical health, reminders to go to the doctor. So in general, we know that even when those relationships continue, that people, for the most part, continue to enjoy mental health benefits when they're in intimate relationships.
We're talking right now with Claire Camp Dush about a study that she co-authored looking at the emotional effects of living together. And the study said that women get the same emotional benefits from living together as they do from marriage.
You can join in now at 800-642-1234. We want to hear your story, your experiences. Have you cohabitated, lived together, maybe before getting married, maybe instead of getting married? How did that work out? How does it compare? Do you feel emotional benefits? Is there something different between living together and Putting a ring on it, tying the knot, getting married, is one better than the other? Would you recommend one path or the other to, say, a younger person that you know making that decision now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also share your story on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion now about the emotional benefits of cohabitation with Claire Camp Dush from Ohio State University.
You could join in at 800-642-1234. As we've heard, this research looking at mainly today's younger generation, it sounds like saying, hey, for women in particular, living together, pretty much just as good when it comes to emotional benefits as getting married and living together. And we want to hear what you think about that, what your maybe experience was. Have you done both? Lived together with a partner, married a partner? Did it make a difference getting married? Is it okay just living together? What do you recommend to the younger people in your family, in your peer group? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to those Facebook comments now. Here's one from Sarah, and she says, my mother taught me to live with a man before marrying him. Get to know who he is day in and day out before you decide to live with him every day for the rest of your life. That's what her mom told her. And Sarah, that's, you know, that's kind of a big generational switch from what you might have heard before from your parents saying, you know, never live with someone because they'll never commit to you. What do you think about that shift that we're seeing there through Sarah's eyes?
Well, I think that's, I don't think that's necessarily bad advice. I always tell my undergrads that the most important decision they'll ever make is who they marry. And I guess Sarah, if she takes her mom advice and lives with some guy and it turns out that it's not working out, I didn't mention this, but we also have looked at second unions and we found that people experience emotional health benefits, both men and women, from second cohabitations and second marriages. So, Sarah, if you try that and it doesn't work out the first time, go for it again because you'll experience emotional health benefits in your second union as well.
Wow, so you're on to two committed relationships in one form or the other. Do you know if it just is being in a relationship? Could we go on to relationship 3 and 4?
Well, we have this idea in the relationship research, in the relationship literature, that serial cohabitation, which is living with one person after another, tends not to be, has not in the past been associated with positive outcomes, but that could be changing. Again, we need more updated data as the nature of intimate relationships in the U.S. changes.
We'll go to our phone lines now. We've got Carrie with us in Menominee Falls. Carrie, hi.
Hi.
What is your experience with all this? Good, thanks.
I've had a positive experience. I mean, when you're younger and you're cohabitating, we had some split up here and there, but we always came back, and you do get to know someone really good, but I like the marriage thing now.
You like the marriage thing. So is this the same person that you were cohabitating with earlier?
Yeah, 20 years living together.
20 years. So I got to ask, what made you decide to, I guess, put a ring on it and get married?
I don't know, because we knew we were going to. We had a son. He was 12. But I don't know. It could actually be fiscal reasons, insurance and whatnot. But mostly because you just know after that long.
Okay, well, Carrie, thank you so much for that. And Carrie lived with her partner for 20 years before they decided to get married. Is that maybe becoming more typical?
Well, I definitely don't think that's necessarily typical. Cohabitations tend to be short-lived in general. But I do think that for long-term cohabitors like Carrie deciding to get married because of some of the fiscal benefits of marriage and just making things official, I think that's pretty common. But unfortunately, we don't know a lot about that from a research standpoint.
Carrie, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to go next to Matt in Chippewa Falls. Matt, hi.
Hi there.
What is your story?
I lived with my wife for about a year, year and a half before we got engaged and then got married.
And how do you feel before and after?
I personally feel...
Oh, no, we lost him right at the good part. Matt, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, do you want to try one more time? Yeah.
Sorry about that. I feel like it's kind of like test driving a car. I wouldn't want to, you know, live a life without knowing the habits of that car, you know, so to say, if it would break down in certain areas or not work in the cold weather, or so to say.
And is your wife listening now?
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
Maybe that's for the best. But okay, so you're glad you did that.
Yes.
And how about now? Do you feel happier now? Because according to at least some of what this data might suggest, you as a guy might be a little happier after getting married.
Yeah, definitely. She's pushed me quite a bit in my personal and professional career to be more calm as a person and settle down and succeed in life and keep on going instead of being, you know, happy with where you're at.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks a lot for that, Matt. Everyone's got their analogy. His was test driving a car first, and he's happier now. What do you think of his story, Claire?
Oh, I think that's a great story. And actually, I think that it's pretty common that not only when you get married do you experience, like he mentioned, that his wife is pushing him professionally and personally. Marriage can also be a signal to others that I'm serious now. And especially for men, marriage can be a signal that you're more mature, you're more serious, because some people view young men as frivolous and less mature. So he could be enjoying benefits in his personal professional life from his wife's support and from the way other people view him now that he's married.
Well, Matt, thanks a lot for that call. And next we're going to go to Darlene in Viola. Hi, Darlene.
Hi there. I don't normally call in, but I felt compelled to tell my story very quickly. My husband and I met 27 years ago in former Yugoslavia, and we married after 3 days. And we've been happily married ever since. So a little bit of ups and downs here and there, but I don't believe in cohabitation because there is no serious level of commitment. And this was something that just felt right to both of us, and it's truly a storybook romance.
Darlene, I appreciate that. So Darlene and her now husband got married after 3 days, not very long, and she says she doesn't believe in cohabitation because there's not the commitment. So viewed against your research, how do you interpret a story like hers?
Well, I think that it would, that I don't know that we have a lot of, we don't have a lot of data on dating before you get married. So I'm not really comfortable saying that, oh, marrying after 3 days is a bad idea or a good idea. I got engaged to my husband after only a month, so I'm more like her in that sense. And sometimes I always think when you know, you know. But in terms of cohabitation being not commitment, I mean, there's a lot of variation in cohabitation. So some people might be moving in together to save money. Some people might be moving in together because they're committed and they see this as a step on their way to marriage. Some people might be moving in together because of convenience. So unfortunately or fortunately, among those people that live together, there's so much variation that it's hard to say that they're not committed, because I do think a lot of them do have commitment at some level. It may not be the level of commitment that you have when you're married, but for some of them, it probably is.
We're talking right now to Claire Camp-Dush, Associate Professor in Human Sciences at Ohio State University, talking about a study that she co-authored on the emotional benefits of cohabitation. And Claire, do you think that, you know, if we're saying there's some commitment in these cohabitating relationships, do we just have a lower bar for what commitment is now?
Well, I think there's commitment among dating relationships. There's a lot of ways to be committed to your partner. And there's even people that are in very committed relationships, but they're living apart. So they both have their own house, but they are very serious and sometimes even married. So I think that it's hard to put everybody in one little box, and that we just have to trust people when they say how committed they are and trust their feelings. And I think in general that cohabiting couples can be just as committed as married couples. In the United States, people tend to want to get married, but that doesn't mean that, the caller that called in that lived together with her now husband for 20 years, they were obviously very committed.
And back to the callers we go. We've got Carrie next in Janesville. Carrie, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say the advice that I would give to young ladies thinking about marriage or cohabitation would be, I would get married later in life, even 25 or older. I got married at 21, and I'm still married, and it's a positive experience, but it was definitely a lot harder just because we did so much changing in between then. And I think cohabitation is great because during that changing of time, there's so much that happens, and I think that women are just becoming more independent, and I think it's a great thing.
Well, thank you so much for that, Carrie. Appreciate that. And Carrie's going to get the last words with our caller. And before we let you go, Claire, we've just got a few seconds left, but is this sort of research going to change the way that we think about marriage? Do we need to rethink why it's such a big deal and why it's desirable in the first place?
Potentially. And I think that there needs to be more research on what the benefits of marriage is for Americans. And we need to think more about how we talk about marriage. I don't think marriage is going anywhere anytime soon, but I think it's important for us to not discount other kinds of intimate relationships.
Well, Claire, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That was Claire Cam Dush, Associate Professor of Human Sciences at Ohio State University. She joined us there to talk about a study that she co-authored looking at the emotional benefits of cohabitation.